We're back on the Florida Roundup here on WLRN. I'm Tom Hudson. Thanks again for listening this week. Twice already, a plane has taken to the skies over Miami-Dade in the battle against mosquitoes. One has flown over Weston and parts of western Broward County, too. The use of Nalid to fight the bite is a fight itself. Mia Carlson is a mom living in South Miami.
I would like them to maybe pump on the brakes and wait a little bit and not be so aggressive in the chemicals that they're using. And if they are going to be using those chemicals, I really think that they need to do a better job of communicating the dates and times that they're using them.
This week, a federal judge threw out a lawsuit filed by two people from Miami Beach over using the chemical in the aerial spraying locally. The spraying this year has not targeted the Aedes aegypti mosquitoes. That's the breed that carries Zika. Instead, it's targeting the more common salt marsh mosquitoes. It was about 1 year ago when a Miami-Dade woman and a man in Broward County separately tested positive for the Zika virus. Those helped lead to an unprecedented travel warning by the Centers for Disease Control for the Wynwood neighborhood, and then similar warnings were eventually put up in other areas, including Miami Beach, for months last year. So do you take special precautions when there will be aerial spraying for mosquitoes? What are the protocols to decide when and how to spray and how to tell the public about the spraying? And what about the use of Nalid? 800-743-WLRN, 800-743-9576. You can also send us a tweet at WLRN. Kate Stein covers the environment for us here at WLRN. Anton is along with us as well, Director of Mosquito Control for Broward County. An, let's start here. Any spraying scheduled for Broward County right now?
Hi. No, there's no aerial spraying scheduled right now. We do have ongoing truck larvicide, and that's also considered spraying, but it's an organic material. And we have truck spraying for adulticide as well in various parts of the county.
And I know, Kate, Miami-Dade has frequent truck spraying and has a schedule that they publish online. Do we know of any Miami-Dade aerial spraying that's on the schedule right now?
Right now, no. They've done aerial spraying a couple of times this summer, but they don't have anything else on the schedule at this point.
What do we know about the spraying that has happened in Miami-Dade County so far this year, Kate?
So in Miami-Dade and also in the Palm Beach County, Monroe County, and Broward, officials have been using the pesticide Nalid to spray for salt marsh mosquitoes, which are aggressive nuisance mosquitoes, but they don't transmit diseases, at least in humans. And that's something that's different from last year when aerial spraying was with the pesticide Nalid was being used as sort of like an all-out attempt to get a handle on the Aedes aegypti mosquito, which carries the Zika virus.
Anton covers mosquito control program for Broward County. He's with the county. He's with us via Skype. The use of the aerial spraying in Broward County, did you use the Nalid over Weston?
We did recently use aerial spraying with Nalid over Weston, and we did that. The reason we did that was we got several thousand requests from that area. In addition, these elected officials in Weston requested us to do aerial spraying.
And so I want to ask about the protocols of the decision to make that action. The use of Nalid, how frequently have you been using it? How long has Broward County used Nalid?
We've been using that chemical for a long time, much longer than me. however, it's not very frequent. On average, we would do aerial spraying with Nalid over an area maybe once a year on average. And I look back over the last 10 or 15 years how we did it. So it's very infrequent for us. And when we do, the dosage of the chemical that we use is very, very small. This is about approximately one tablespoon diluted in enough water to spray over an entire acre. So it's not a whole lot.
So, An, can you talk a little bit more about sort of the decision to use Nalid as far as what concerns you're hearing from residents of Weston and also Southwest Ranches? What's the situation there that you decided it's necessary to do aerial spraying?
So there's a few things. There's state regulation is that depending on the number of calls, when it's deemed high, and in this case, it's deemed extremely high for the number of spray requests that we received.
How many calls were you getting?
We were averaging about 2,000 spray requests a day countywide, and most of them were coming from the south and west and part of the county, Weston and Southwest Ranches, for example.
And on these, callers would request aerial spraying, or they would just general calls about there's lots of mosquitoes in my backyard?
It's essentially, there's lots of mosquito, come help us.
Okay.
And the other protocol is that we conduct what's called landing rates. What it is our entomologists will go out in that area and essentially just count the number of mosquitoes that would land on his arm. And in this case, we didn't even need to do that because as soon as you go out in this part of the county at the point before the aerial spraying, folks would be covered with mosquito, that practically the whole body. And we would get so many requests, just come and help us. In addition, so we try to do the truck spraying and backpack spraying. Unfortunately, in many parts of the county, fortunately also, is that the lots are so big, and particularly in the Southwest Ranches area, that the truck spraying does not get to people's backyard, which is where folks would like to congregate and, you know, have barbecue and those kind of things. Mm. And that's why the necessity for the aerial spraying.
And so as you're assessing all of this, you've got your phone calls, you've got an arm full of mosquito bites, so you know that the mosquito population is high. What's the next step to, and you have inaccessible landscape that you can only get to from the air. What's the next step to decide that NALID is the right chemical versus the BTI, which is a different type of treatment that you use?
Sure. Now, different mosquitoes require different treatment. The mosquito that carry virus, the Aedes aegypti mosquito, the most effective way to go after them is when they're in the larvae stage. And the reason for that is because the Aedes aegypti mosquito flight all day long, they bite all day long, and they're container. So when they're in one place, which is when they're in larvae stage, is when we use a BTI product to go after them. And that's been very effective for us. Now, the salt marsh mosquito, they don't breed in Broward County typically. They typically breed in the Everglades. So because they don't breed here, there's no larvae here for us to go after. So the only other way to go after them is when they're in adult phase. And they came in a few weeks ago. Our county experienced a prolonged storm. And along with that storm, the billions of mosquitoes came in from the Everglades. And the way to go after them is to go to adulticide, which is to spray different chemicals by truck, by backpack, and then in this limited case, by airplane.
So you mentioned that aerial spraying with NALID is not the most effective way necessarily to target the Aedes aegypti mosquito that carries Zika. Why were officials using it last year against the Aedes aegypti mosquito if it isn't the most effective way?
Well, I'm not sure who you meant by official. We never use it to target the Aedes aegypti mosquito. I know the CDC recommend that as a last resort, but we have never done it.
And you also mentioned the other methods, the truck spraying, the backpack spraying. Those don't use NALID. Is that right, On?
That's correct. We use a different product altogether.
And why is that?
The aerial spraying, they're very limited product that we can use. And unfortunately, all of them are insecticides, and unfortunately, all of them comes with some kind of trade-off. And that's why NALID is used. And it's been used throughout the country and not just in South Florida.
Sure. In the United States, it's been used since 1959, as we know. But is the trade-off with NALID somehow less than the trade-off with other potential chemicals you could use from aerial sprayers?
Right now, for aerial spraying, there's very limited choices. NALID is one of the product. The other one has some significant trade-off as well. However, we're working with some university and chemical manufacturer company right now to hopefully come up with a more friendlier product to use than aerial spraying. We're not quite there yet, but we're working hard at it.
Anton is the director of mosquito control for Broward County with us via Skype. Kate Stein covers the environment for us here at WLRN. Some of those trade-offs were highlighted recently, Kate, in a study from the University of Michigan that came from China looking at the effect of NALID and motor skills of infants. What did the study find, and how should South Floridians look at this kind of research?
Right. So the study looked at 24 different pesticides in 200 infants in China. It was not a study on Nalid exclusively. But the researchers found that infants who had traces of Nalid in umbilical cord blood scored a little bit lower on tests of motor skills, fine motor skills and visual motor skills. And the key there is that they scored slightly lower. So I've talked with a pediatric physical therapist about this, as well as the study researchers. And they say that this study basically shouldn't be used to decide whether or not we use Nalid in South Florida.
Why not?
Well, the study found, so there's a, I talked with the researchers about the scale that they measured these motor skills deficits on, and it's a little complicated, but basically a 5-point variation on the scale is within the normal range for the population, the 9-month-old infants that they were looking at. The study on Nalid found that there was about a 1-point deficit. Mm. So there's a range of 5 points, you know, plus or minus, that could be just normal developmental differences. For Nalid, it's just one point, excuse me. And so it could just be that this was a normal, you know, a normal difference looking at this relatively small population of 200 infants. But the key here is that there's growing evidence that pesticides like Nalid can impact neurological development of children. And that's why researchers are encouraging more studies and, you know, caution as we use this pesticide.
And helping fuel some activists that don't want the use of Nalid in their neighborhoods. We saw a lawsuit filed against the governor, against the county mayor, against the head of the Centers for Disease Control thrown out this week. Is that lawsuit dead? It tried to stop the spraying of Nalid in Miami-Dade County.
So the lawsuit in this particular form is dead. The judge who was looking at the request basically found a couple of shortcomings. There wasn't a lot of clarity in the request for the injunction on why the federal court should be the one that's making the decision or on which laws might actually be violated. And so he dismissed the lawsuit for the time being, but he also gave the plaintiff 60 days to amend and resubmit, hopefully with a lawyer. They didn't have a lawyer at the time of this hearing on Wednesday.
And the judge's admonition was to get a lawyer.
Right. Yeah. But after this decision, lawyers from the county, from Miami-Dade County, said they'd be willing to have a conversation about aerial spraying with the plaintiffs. So it remains to be seen if that conversation will happen or, you know, if they'll go back to the courts again.
It has been almost 1 year since Zika was found in South Florida. And we're talking about mosquito spraying as we're in the thick of mosquito season here on the Florida Roundup. Let's go to line one in Little Havana. Jeffrey, you are on the Florida Roundup. Your thoughts. Go ahead.
Oh, hi. Yes. I've learned recently about the spraying of Nalid. I saw actually a post on Facebook, and just doing some reading, I became very, all the things you're talking about the possibly detrimental effects of Nalid, I became very concerned. And I know even though the EPA says it's safe, I know that, you know, in Europe, the European Union, they've banned it for use in agriculture because of the negative effects. And I know there was an article, I don't know if you can highlight anything about it in the New Times, about Miami-Dade County actually lying about what they were asked. Oh, I hear it's banned in Europe. And they said, no, it's not. And I'm wondering, it seems like there's not a whole lot of transparency. I'm wondering why the county would lie about that.
Yeah. Yeah. Jeffrey, we got it. Thanks for the phone call. Kate, can you shine a light on this?
Yeah. So I don't know that the county actually lied about the ban in the European Union. There's been a lot of confusion about that ban because it's a little unclear whether the EU actually actively banned, like forbade the use of Nalid, or whether it was a question of the manufacturer not applying and registering the chemical for use in the EU, because there's not a big market there. I did talk with the manufacturer. They're unwilling to use the term ban, and the actual language on the European Union website that regulates pesticides is not approved.
Right.
So it's a little unclear about the ban.
And this also gets to the regulatory strategy that the European Union uses for pesticides and insecticides versus what American regulators use. The European regulatory strategy is what it calls the precautionary principle, which is essentially is if there's no scientific data that is able to allow regulators to evaluate the risk, then they can stop the distribution and not approve it. Whereas in the United States, actual harm has to be shown in order for a product to be pulled from a market.
That's right. And actually, we've seen this play out in the U.S. with the EPA's recent decision on another pesticide that's similar to NALID called chlorpyrifos. There's been a fair amount of evidence that chlorpyrifos can cause neurological impacts on infants. And as recently as November 2016, under the Obama administration EPA, there was a push to outlaw chlorpyrifos. But with the new EPA coming into power with the Trump administration, that ban has, or that push for a ban has been reversed. And so this, and the reason that they reversed that potential ban was that they just didn't feel there was enough evidence that it caused harm.
The actual harm limits, so to speak, that the United States regulators have. Anton, as director of mosquito control in Broward County, bring it back for your residents. What are the notification efforts that you have to go through before you put a plane in the air with NALID?
So before we do any aerospraying at all, we issue a news release, it's published on our website, and then we also make individual calls to residents that are registered with the Department of Agriculture because they may have some chemical sensitivity. In addition, we work with the cities, in this case, Southwest Ranches and Weston, to do what's called a reverse code red, where they notify individual residents through a robocall throughout their cities.
You talked about calls to registered residents. What is that registration? How does one get involved with that?
It's fairly simple. It's kept up by the Department of Agriculture. So essentially, there's one page form that you fill out that lists why you want to be notified. And the advantage for a resident when you do that is when we spray or anyone else that are spraying any kind of insecticides in your area, we're all supposed to notify you. And so that covers our resident for all the insecticide company that may be working in your area.
Anton is director of mosquito control for Broward County with us from his office via Skype. Kate Stein covering the environment for us here at WLRN. Thanks to both of you for joining us on the Roundup today.
Thanks, Tom.
Thank you.
Still to come on the program, the living conditions behind bars in some of Florida's prisons. That's next as the Roundup continues.